Blog Talk Radio.
You people can watch while I'm scrubbing these floors, and I'm scrubbing the floors while you're gawking. Maybe once you tip me and it makes you feel swell in this crummy southern town and this crummy old hotel, but you'll never guess to who you're talking. No, you could never guess to who you're talking. Then one night there's a scream in the night and you wonder who could that have been. And you see me kind of grinning while I'm scrubbing. And you say, what she got to grin? I'll tell you. There's a ship, the Black Freighter, with a skull on its masthead, will be coming in. You gentlemen can say, hey gal, finish them floors, get upstairs, what's wrong with you, earn your keep here. You toss me your tips and look out to the ships, but I'm counting your heads as I'm making the beds, cause there's nobody gonna sleep here tonight. Nobody's gonna sleep here, honey. Nobody. Then one night, there's a scream in the night, and you say, who's that kicking up a row? And you see me kinda staring out the window, and you say, what's she got to stare at now? I'll tell you, there's a ship, the Black Freighter, turns around in the harbor, shooting guns from her bow. Now, you gentlemen can wipe off that smile off your face, cause every building in town is a flat one. This whole frickin' place will be down to the ground, only this cheap hotel standing up safe and sound. And you yell, why do they spare that one? Yes, that's what you say. Why do they spare that one? All the night through, through the noise and to-do, you wonder who is that person that lives up there. And you see me stepping out in the morning, looking nice with a ribbon in my hair. And the ship, the Black Freighter, runs a flag up its masthead and a cheer rings the air. And in that quiet of death,
Conversation, but peace and love is a famous generation. What's in your head is really started showing. Your conversation getting kind of boring. Can't believe nothing you say, 'cause I'm around and I see what you do. You know you're funkier than a mosquito's leader. You got a mouth like a herd of boll weavers. We'll be right back.
My Auto Tap and Better Love, you are listening to the Truth to Power Show, and I'm Beverly. And we have with us tonight, we have Tariq Ricard L. with us, and we're looking at all wars are bankers' wars. And we're going to be talking about some other things here, too, what's going on in the world here that we are in right now. So, Tariq, how are you doing this evening?
Greetings, Beverly, Sister Beverly. It's so wonderful to be with you. Hey,
good to have you.
Yeah, I'm elated to be here, actually, because all this controversy going on in the media with Ye and Kyrie and how they assassinate these young brothers for talking about a documentary, which documents who did what and who's who. And so all of a sudden now they're the biggest anti-Semites in the world, as if the people they're talking about are Semites.
You're right.
So I find it hilarious because they've proven everything that Ye says and Kyrie, who says, hey, look, I posted something on my Twitter about a documentary I saw, and so what? You know, I'm not promoting nothing. I put it on my Twitter, a message to share with people. So what? You don't do that? Next question.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
I love it. Yeah, but they're going to try to assassinate these brothers, cancel them out on some lies and some junk that these Yids, and that's what they are, Yids, they're coming out, I got a wonderful interview that I wish I could play right now because it's the one that everybody's got to listen to, especially those talking about so-called Jews. And it's Rabbi Abe Finkelstein being interviewed. And I suggest everybody Google that or pull it up some kind of way. Go to your search engine, pull up the it's called the Motion Interview, Rabbi Abe Finkelstein. And listen to what he says. It's right out of their Yahuda's mouth. He tells you the whole thing. And he backs up every word that Ye and them is talking about and any of the stuff that comes out that was about them over there in Europa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to make it, they want to cancel us out. We're not allowed to say anything about them because if we open our mouth about the truth about them, oh, now they claim that we're trying to start pogroms on them as if they are the only ones out there. You see, this is the kind of what I know to be the kind of Nazi projectionism that went on in Germany and has gone on in this country since 1949. See, they transferred literally all of them Nazis over here under Eisenhower, the Allied chief, and then he builds up the military-industrial complex, and then when he leaves office, he warns the public, beware
now,
of the
military. Who was that again? Who built
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower?
That was Eisenhower. Yeah,
okay.
the Allied chief of World War II. The one that the brothers at Tuskegee Institute, the pilots at Tuskegee Institute, saved his behind. You know? Yeah. That's what people ought to know.
Wasn't he a general? Wasn't he a general?
Yeah, he was a general. Yeah, General Dwight David Eisenhower, and also of the United States. Yes, he was the president in 1951 or whatever it is. He and Tricky Dick, they were the pair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that, and I've been on this trek for so long, that if you don't go back and look at the story and find out what happened, see, you can't know what's going on. You just out here, you know, flying blind, because they have been able to psychologically impair the population here with psyops and psychological warfare and public relations and dog Latin and all of this confusion that they throw around in the megalomedia to keep people off the dime, so to speak, keep people confused, to keep people on the teetering of emotional breakdown and you know, and they can throw these emotional questions at you. Are you not sorry for the trouble that you've caused? Do you not apologize for the hurt that you caused all these people, the Kyrie? I mean, these are literal, what do you want to call them? These kind of so-called journalists here in this country with this nonsense about you know, in other words, you can't say nothing about Jews because, you know, they claim to be Jews and are not. And I go back into the history. See, I go back to the story and find out what happened. Oh,
so here's what happened.
Here's what happened. In the 700s and the early 800s, this crazy king up there in the far north with all of his Caucasoid cave dweller folk and all those on the plains, those creatures up from the plains, all were under the king there. And he, in order to not fight against the Moors, he told the people that they were now converting to Judaism. Now, this was forced upon the people in the far north, in the Caucasus, and throughout the north there, which became parts of the Russia and the Russian Empire and Soviet Union, all that. Ukraine, especially. This is where you have a lot of the Ashkenazis and the Khazarians, those people who were forced into Judaism by their king in the 8th century in order to avoid war with the Moors. And the cooperation with the Moors that the Moors allowed all the way up and down Europa, because you remember, the Moors ran Europa for 810 years. From Iberia, the Iberian Peninsula, the so-called Rock of Gibraltaric and the Straits of Gibraltaric, which used to was called the Straits of Hercules, but after 711, it was determined, the name was changed to the Rock of Gibraltari or Tariq's Mount or Tariq's Mountain. That's the Rock of Gibraltar, Gibraltaric. They mispronounced it. And then the Straits also got the chain. That's a 9-mile space there between Europa and the north of the continent, Al-Kabulan. This, when you know this story, when you know what happened, and when you study Stanley Lane Poole's book called The Moors, the book that he put out about the Moors, when you study the history and know what happened and know that the religious Moors and the science Moors fought against each other to the point where the Germans and the Jews or Yids, the convertees in southern France and the mountain areas there between France and Spain, they converted and they started in on all this battle against the Moors and drove them out because they were fighting amongst themselves, so they couldn't hardly defend what they had built for those 800 and some years. You see, you go to the city of Sevilla, you go to the city of Barcelona, or you go to Madrid, or you go to Zaragoza, or you go to many of the cities in Iberia, where I have been and studied the situation myself personally. So I'm not just talking about what I read. Been there, I went there to see for myself because I learned about Tariq ibn Ziyad, the great general of the Mauritanese, the Moors, who then came across the Mediterranean there with 6,000 men and 8,000 horses transported by ship across and invaded Iberia and took the whole peninsula from King Rodrigo, who was a bestial king from who attacked young girls and women who were in his court. And so this is the story we need to know, you see.
I just wanted to know what happened to the Moors. I mean, if they have had all this power back then, mm-hmm. and was mm-hmm. they conquered, or did they just go behind the scenes?
No, what happened was the Empire of the Two Shores, led by Science Moors, or the Almoravids and the Almohads, the two different ones, the religious ones and the science ones, the ones who built everything up, were always ending up fighting against those religious ones who wanted to force everyone to proselytize and so forth. But if you see what the Science Moors built up in Granada, for example, the Great Mosque of Granada, when you see that it was such a huge architectural phenomenon that they could build a Catholic church inside of it, you see. So these are some of the things that we need to know of what happened on the Iberian Peninsula, because once you know that and you know the story of us over here, because over here, we were already here for at least a half a million years or more. And Atlantis was here, and certainly Atlantis was us. It wasn't none of these people calling themselves whites or Jews or any of this kind of nonsense, social engineering that we're hearing today. It was us. It's always been about us. It's always been about you all, first and foremost, the female. You all, because Europa, for example, was a goddess, a melanated goddess from Macedonia. And that's what the name of the continent is, not Europe. Okay? It's Europa. It's named after a goddess. That goddess looked like you all. And that's what you all have to take back, because these Brits and these other creatures, they have clearly taken the names, our names, our works, and changed them and given back to us, and as if we were nothing, we didn't do anything, and we accept that, you see. And I, for one, will not and cannot accept any of that, because I've seen for myself what we have built, you see. And I also know of the great mound builders in this land who built the great Cahokia that they want to talk about so much, but they don't want to talk about the great snake mound up the river from Cahokia. And I suggest that you all look into the great snake mound, because you're going to see there they got four pyramids built there, mounds that are larger than the Great Pyramid of Giza, covered up today. But use of LADAR, they were able to find that, these are pyramids, and they are greater than the Great Pyramid in Giza in so-called Africa or Egypt, you know, which neither name is correct for that area over there. Because what is now so-called Egypt, that was Carthage. And the Nile, that's something that happened much later in history than what we think, because everything came from over here and went over there. It didn't come from over there over here. See, that's the bad backwards nonsense that they have so many of our so-called intellectuals, the boule, the ones who are trained to protect the king and keep us from knowing who we are, and to, you know, keep the playing field unlevel, okay? And then complain about, we don't have enough blacks in politics. and we don't have enough blacks and this and that, you know, and all of this nonsense, you know. And like I said, if we don't learn to speak correctly, and this is where I hope some of my people are listening this evening, because we are using a language, what they call, I call it eubonics. They call it eubonics. But I'm saying that all of this is nothing but slanguage that is used to keep us in an intellectual state of nothing. You know what I mean? We continually just go down the road nowhere because we are not speaking correctly. We are not using language properly because we are under spells. And I was hoping that you would open with I put a spell on you by Nina Simone. Although she did, yeah, and then the other one I will end up with later, we'll, you know, end the show with. But, you know, Nina was out there telling us. Nina was one of the greatest female warriors we have ever had. And she was under the auspices of she married, actually, a police officer, a lieutenant, in the police department in New York. He used to beat her up. Yeah. Because, you know, he thought he could. And, you know, she fell for the okey-doke, and then she suffered behind it, you know. But she was out there. She let us know the deal. Four women, for example. All of y'all should know about Four Women.
You know, right.
Four Women was one of the premier historical songs of Nina and from her, and so many more. I've been a fan of her since I was 16 myself, and I first heard her Little Girl Blue album when I was 16, and I knew right then and there that here was a star. Here was somebody who could do anything. She could sing any kind of music. Her voice was unusual but powerful. And she could play that piano like nobody's business. You know, she was a pianist first and foremost.
Right.
And then got into all this. And you will hear some of the great piano works of hers in her music, which I highly suggest people start listening to the story of Nina Simone, because she was one of our great warrior queens out here. And really laid the groundwork for a lot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Why don't we take a 2-minute Nina Simone break, and we'll come
great.
Back.
Yeah.
You finish telling
back.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do 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 do. You better stop the things you do. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh yeah. on you. Because I'm bendy, I'm bendy, I'm not on you, my.
All right, the late, great Nina Simone.
Indeed, indeed. And she knows, she let us know back then. And that song that we started out with, I saw her perform in Algiers in 1969 at the second Pan-African Cultural Festival, which was the most incredible awakening in my day. When I saw all of the people parade up and down the streets of Algiers from around the continent of Al-Kabulan, because the word Africa came from a Roman general named Scipio Africanus and was literally only a little part of of an area in the far north next to Kemet or in Egypt, which was Carthage. And the only reason why that was overtaken by the Romans is because the Vandals had poisoned the land with salt so nobody could grow food, so they had to abandon that land. And the Romans conquered that and called themselves the first Africans. So you see, we're living under false ideas. We're living under nonsense and BS and stuff that these creatures have thrown upon us, you know, using the Gatling gun and the repeater rifle and all the rest of it that they have developed against us. You know, we're still here.
So when did the Jewish, now, what can you trace them back to, when, to how far?
Well, I mean, those who are claiming to be Jews and those who are claiming to be white are not even 6,000 years old. And these are literally, and this can be found very simply, just get in and start digging it yourself. You'll see that our ancestors, many of our ancestors who were playing foolishness with foolishness as well, created these creatures in the laboratory. Their laboratory, you know,
so
and
like
that's
they
where,
today.
Like they're doing now, exactly.
They
got it from us. Everything they got, everything they do, they got from us. Remember that. That's what we got to know. Once we know that, then think the whole playing field levels out, because now they can't come and tell you this and that and the other, and you got to believe that. No, it's our story. Our story is the story. See, they weren't here. And you know, I listened to a great speech or a presentation by Dr. Khalil Muhammad here before they killed him. But, you know, and he was saying these things back then that, you know, since we don't know who we are and we believe that we're, you know, brought over here on some sailboats,
right.
You know, And they never did nothing in life but run around the jungle and play drums and sing and dance and all that, you know. And this is the, you know, the blackface minstrel shows that they lived off of for so many years, you know, before we had Bert Williams who did it and showed them who the real blackface was, you know.
Because... Yeah. If you listen to the story, his story that they tell us, it has it like, you know, we are some very weak and naive people.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's what they want in your mind. They want you to think, believe in, and be the lie of that. Because remember, again, correct speech, the word B-E is a prefix. The word L-I-E is the root of the word believe.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So if you don't know the language properly, then they got you speaking the slanguage. You're talking about believe when this is the age of to know. See, we're not interested in what you believe anymore. We want to know what you know. See, that's the deal. And you can't, and you got no excuses today about learning stuff because it's at our fingertips. Anything you want to know, you can just, I mean, you can literally just say, hey, Siri, Alexa, you know, and ask the question, get some of the answer, and take it from there. That's how easy and simple it is to find out. But, oh, no, there's so much disinformation and so much misinformation out there. We just don't know what to believe anymore. You know, this is the kind of mindset they want us in, you know. I mean,
so it kind of seems like that they might have had really got into sorcery, occultism, spiritual, and that was how they was able to use that against us. You know, we gave them.
They use it against everyone. Because their fears and lack of knowledge and lack of information from, because remember, Europa was full of what they called 10, 11, 12 levels of peasantry, okay? Peasants, that's what they called them back in the day, yeah. And they were the low-life peasants, which I called the throwaways. That's the ones they would go around scraping up every couple of years, every 6 months, whichever they had the funds for. And they would round them up, carry them down to the dock, throw them on the ship, and send them off. That's how you got Australia. That's how you got New Zealand. You know, that's how you got a lot of the British, so-called British colonies. You know, that's how they did it. Here in this land, in the 1840s, whom they brought here on those tall ships that they learned how to build, the four-masted tall ships that you could sail across the Atlantic in maybe 15 days instead of 2 months or 3 months. So they were able to cross, and they brought 40,000 a month of these creatures over here on those vessels that they were building, you see. Just like after World War II, they transferred thousands and thousands of Nazis, high-level Nazis, by the way, over here in a negotiation between the Allied forces and the Nazis. And most people think that the war was over in 1945, but I can tell you that the war was over in 1944, and they had already negotiated their transfer all around the world, with Eisenhower, Churchill, Stalin, etc. They are the ones who negotiated with the Nazis because they found out how advanced the Nazis were. And the Soviet Union got a bunch of them in Ukraine. And so you had this whole Nazification over in Ukraine, and that was a part of the Soviet Union that they had to get rid of after the war, because they had lost 20 million men in the war in the so-called Soviet Union. Our war partners back then, by the way, now it's everything Russia this, Russia that, Putin this, Putin that. It's all Cold Warism, you know. So, you know, we have to know the story, and we have to know how it came about. And once we learn this thing, especially about ourselves, because the first thing you got to know is, who are you? You know, who are you? And who's your family? And where does your family come from? And in today's world, you can find out all that information. I drove here in L.A. up to the Hormone Temple, I call it, the Mormon Temple up in West Los Angeles. You got a temple there, and in the back of the temple there, they got a big library where they got all the information on everybody and anybody you want to know. Okay? This is their library in the back, and they welcome you, and you can go there and find out. I found out who my great-grandmother was, my great-grandmother, both of them members of the Chitimaca Choctaw nations there in Louisiana, Texas. And, you know, I mean, this is what we have to do. We have to know who we are. Where did you come from? And I suggest that everybody get with Dane Calloway.
Yeah.
Dane Calloway is one of the stars of today, as far as I'm concerned. He's one of those that says, hey, wait a minute. Y'all listen here. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. I'm just here to make you think.
That's right.
That's what I'm here. Right. Now,
says that, it was some of us that was already here. The ones that came over, they didn't all come over here as slaves. You know, voluntarily. It was a work situation.
Well, not only that, we already had everything. Listen, the Lewis and Clark expedition tells you what was here, although they kept it out of the chronicles of Meriwether Lewis and Clark expedition paperwork. They tried to hide it in the Smithsonian Institute, but Meriwether Lewis wrote in his chronicle, and you can find it in The Return of the Ancient Ones, the book by Empress Tiara El Bey, the Empress of Ouachita,
mm-hmm.
wrote a book called The Ancient Ones, Return of the Ancient One. And that book, that information that he wrote in his chronicle, wherever they went, quote, wherever they went west of the Mississippi, from the Mississippi River to the Oregon coast, over the Rockies and back, zigzagging both ways, always led and introduced by Brother York, a melanated brother, because this is what you find out. Sister Sacagawea and Brother York introduced them everywhere. Otherwise, they would have never made that expedition.
Mm-hmm.
They would never have made it. See? You know, again, here's knowledge that you must know about. You must know that he wrote, wherever we went west of the Mississippi, we found the spiral-haired people in charge, not the stringy-haired people they sent to greet us. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What? Wait a minute. Excuse me? The spiral-haired people? Who could that be? I wonder. You see? And this is what we start. This is when the story starts breaking down for them, and they cannot justify anything because it's all a lie. It's all made up, and even PBS shows you. Public Broadcasting System shows you in their presentation called "The American Experience" on the Rockefeller family. They show it to you that they did all this. They bought their way through everything. They bought their way into the National Education Association. They bought their way into the medical school. They took over all that. He changed the entire medical system and only promoted allopathic medicine mm-hmm. over all other forms of medicine, especially naturopathic medicine, ours.
Right.
And allopathic medicine is based upon petroleum waste, folks. Rockefeller turned the medical schools into producing only pharmaceutical pills as a solution to illness.
And
one
they don't
three.
Heal.
No, they don't. They don't heal or make it better at all. They make it worse. In fact, they tell you if you can stand looking at those television commercials, where they tell you, don't take this if you're allergic to any of its ingredients. Well, who's not allergic to petroleum in the body? Could you tell me? Who's not allergic to petroleum waste in the body? Coal tar. Yeah. You see, this is what we got to understand. We're under so many illusions about what's going on. It's just pathetic. And like Brother Dry Bones used to tell us all the time, facts matter, you know. He sent me a beautiful video from Steve Coakley back in the day before Steve succumbed to the madness. But Steve was out way out front showing us a way out. You know, I traveled with him sometimes and shared some lots of information with him. And he's the one who instructed us about the Boule and who that is and what their role is and what they're doing. You know, and these are some of the things we need to know.
So the Boules are who we call the Negroes.
Yeah, the Negroes. Yeah, that's the one we call the Negroes. Yeah, and they're the ones who are in the what is that called, the National Negro College Fund, or, you know, some Negro something or other. Yeah, these are the Negroes that are protecting the king. Because they were privileged enough to get put in these colleges and these universities, Negro universities, where they were trained to do certain things, trained to be certain people. That's what you got to understand about the whole medical training and educational system in this country. It's mostly about training. Repetition till you get
it. Wasn't a lot of them what they call mulatto children, mixed children?
What was that about?
Wasn't a lot of those Boules, weren't a lot of them mixed children?
Well, yeah, of course. You like Nina sings in Four Women. You know, you had the kind that, you know, you have all... See, this is what we have to know about our story. See, we have the whole complexion from the light to the dark in our amongst us. See, that's who we are. I mean, it's not some, you know, we're all not just, you know, what they call dark-skinned, you know. We're copper tone. We're the copper tone people. And copper has a variation of complexion, you know. And we have the sepia to the dark, you know, to the heavy melanation, you know, we have that whole spectrum we have. It's all, we've always had it, you know, and what we have found in our research is that Egypt, so-called, or Kemet, so-called, is over here, not over there. It went over there too, yeah, but it was here first.
Where was it at here? Well,
in the Grand Canyon. That's why you got a pyramid in the Grand Canyon called the Isis Pyramid that they don't really want you talking about or knowing about at all. Really, you know? So it's, you know, this is part of our, you know, our journey. We must know these things because once you learn these things, nobody can fool you. There's a guy that on YouTube that I highly recommend people check out. His name is Levy. And he talks about the Grand Canyon. And he's done a lot of videos about the Grand Canyon and about the history of us and so forth and so on. And you will find out that, I mean, there was a plane crash in the 60s, I think. And it was over a part of the Grand Canyon. And in that side of the Grand Canyon, you look up on the wall there at the top, you see all these giant statues way up at the top. And this guy, Levy, he points a lot of this stuff out. He digs in and shows you these things, which is what we have to know. Because once we know this stuff, see, they can't tell us nothing about no United States and all that. I mean, there were at least 100 million people here in this land already in the 1700s. That's what we have come to learn. And, you know, the people here were here from coast to coast that were running the show were the melanated people, us, the copper-toned, melanated, spiral-haired people from coast to coast ran this place like we ran other parts of the world. And we were the first. So, you know, we're going to be the last. Because those who come in taking from us and causing the havoc and reaping the havoc on the land, their time is up, because they have destroyed so much that our mother says to them, hey, y'all got to go, time's up, get out of here, you don't know how to do nothing but mess up, get out. That's the message we're getting from Mother Earth, is it not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look around. You see how many hurricanes and tornadoes and so forth in the last 2-3 months? Yeah. Mother Earth said, y'all messing up. Get out of here. Y'all get away. You know, I mean, 1/3 of Pakistan is underwater. A third of Nigeria is underwater. I mean, what is going on? What is happening?
Well, do you think that they might be manipulating some of that too?
Well, it's not what I think; it's what I know. Again, in my early college career, so to speak, when I attended college at Cal State Dominguez Hills, my geography professor said that they were well versed on weather warfare already in the Vietnam. So, you know, that's what's going on right now around the world. They're using HAARP, this high aerial electron thing that they fire up this beam to the ionosphere, which then is kicked back down into the water, turns the whole nature on its head and causing all kinds of havoc in the world with the forces of nature. So this is what's going on. This is not some talk. I mean, look at, you know, I keep telling people, look up at the sky and see for yourself what they're doing. Today here in LA, the whole sky was covered with lines going all different directions. Some thick, some thin, some, you know, spread out.
Chemtrails.
Yeah, the so-called chemtrails, right. Yeah, they're doing it every single day. Been doing it for 25 years. People are, you know, act like they can't look up. They don't want to know. I mean, there was a whistleblower, a pilot from the Air Force, who exposed the whole thing. I don't know whatever happened to her, but she had guts enough to come out and tell them, hey, this is something ain't right about this. Look at all this stuff, all these equipment here with this spray, all this, what is poison spraying in the sky. What's going on here? Yeah. And then nothing, see? You know, or it's like the young brother that was at the CDC that was trying to expose what was going on with the experimentation on our children to get their melanin and to get their testosterone. You know, and he ended up in the river. See?
So we got a bunch of gangsters.
We're dealing with gangsters and banksters, yes. And we're dealing with the Wild West still. And, you know, they have now weapons that can, you know, wipe out whole, you know, areas of creatures and people, but to leave everything else okay.
Fancy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we you know, that they're threatening with. And so, you know, when Putin is over there trying to get rid themselves of all those Nazis that are there, and we're over here, and most people don't even know that it was a top-level Nazi security officer by the name of Reinhard Gehlen and Wild Bill Donovan, who was the Office of Special Services of the Second World War, they are the ones who set up the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. And if you walk into the building, on the floor, you see the big symbol of the CIA, and it's an extended swastika. That's all it is. It looks like a star, but if you just
on
cut it down... Yeah, right on the floor. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. See, and all of this kind of stuff is put in our face. For example, here's another one. Ronald Reagan. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the B actor who became famous and then later on became governor and later on became president. And, mm-hmm. You know, And so he, during the 30s, was a very close friend of Errol Flynn and Walt Disney. And they used to spend the summers in the 30s down in Errol Flynn's Jamaica estate worshiping the Nazis. And this is on PBS. Yeah, I didn't make you can go see it for yourself. PBS mm-hmm. told you, you know, that they spent the summers down there in Errol Flynn's estate with all the Nazi regalia and the whole thing, because he was a flaming Nazi, Errol Flynn. And Walt Disney was 1-3. And we got to understand, you know, that what we think is going on ain't always going on like that.
Mm-hmm.
They got it all, this, you know, they got you to, so Kanye and Kyrie can't say nothing about them, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you what you can do. We don't need to say nothing about them because they said for themselves, go listen to Rabbi Finkelstein or go listen to Neil Gabler and his book called An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Built Hollywood. Now, go read that. Go call him an anti-Semite then, you know. No. Because he's laying it out and telling you. And they're telling you to your face, yeah, we built it, we stole it, we built it, we run it, and yeah, what about it? What you going to do about it? Nothing.
All of this pedophilia, drinking blood, all of that, it must be part of the rituals or things that they do.
It's the cult. It's the occultism of their heritage, which is those Nazis that they brought over here and inculcated and put all over the country, set them up in the schools and the military and everywhere, and the NASA and the NSA and the NSC. All that's the Nazis. That's not some talk. That go look it up yourself. You can find it. Anybody can find it. That they set all this up, you see. And they did it here. They did it in England. They did it in France. They did it in Australia. They did it in New Zealand. And in Japan, they didn't have to do it because the Japanese already were there. You see? So, I mean, you know, you gotta know what happened so that you can see what is going on, see? And once you start seeing, you know, for example, that guy Abe over there in Japan, the former prime minister, how he got assassinated. Why is that? Oh, well, he was connected to one of them churches, one of them mega churches of these crazy preachers who are all connected, by the way, to the big moneyed interests of the pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies, all of that. They're all connected. Because, you know, they get funds. They get funded
right.
by these people.
Right.
They have layoffs. They that's why they don't pay no taxes. They don't pay no taxes because they don't like to pay taxes. They don't pay no taxes because it's set up for them not to pay taxes. All you got to do is fill it out a certain way, and then there's no tax. Plus, the tax system is a voluntary system in the first place.
And that's
go
what
read.
People don't understand. When I hear people... on TV talking about Trump don't pay taxes. It's a lot of people that don't pay taxes, and people don't know that that's paying taxes is volunteering. You volunteer that.
That's exactly right. You volunteer to do that, and it's not even in positive law. It's actually never been signed by any president that the IRS, which is not even a is nowhere to be found in the organizational structure of the governance of the United States Corporation, which no longer exists, by the way.
Right.
But you never find no IRS there because the IRS is under the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. Now, that's not the U.S.
And people don't understand either that the IRS and the Internal Revenue are two separate entities.
Right, exactly.
They think that because they got that initial IRS, it's the Internal Revenue Service. That's not true.
at all. And so once you find out that mostly what we believe to be happening and true is not, then you have to start looking beyond what's put in your face.
Yeah.
And see, you know, what's out there, because otherwise you're going to just be left behind, or you're going to be so far behind, you're going to say, oh, I can't be bothered with that, which is what happens.
It gets
to most
overwhelming.
People.
It does.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. It's way overwhelming. I mean, you know, and as a researcher, I can be overwhelmed at times because it's so massive and it's so unbelievable, some of the stuff that they have done.
Yeah.
When you find out, you think to yourself, whoa. I mean, these creatures are exactly that, and they don't care. The only thing they care about is their profits and their businesses, and that's it. You get in the way, you're out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah. And they haven't hesitated to take out, I mean, look what has happened with, for example, the frontline doctors. That was started back in the during the first part of the scamdemic.
Right.
This Dr. Gold, Yiddish girl, got this organization started where you had the sister from Nigeria and a bunch of pediatricians and other doctors talking about this nonsense about COVID and this. And then recently, we find out that Dr. Gold is now being sued by the frontline doctors because she took a lot of trips and she built a mansion or she bought a mansion and was all kind of crazy. I mean, you see what I mean? This is how they get you away from what's going on, what you should be focusing on, you should be knowing about, you know, because the frontline doctors were telling us in the beginning, which is what I was telling people back in 2020 when Mike Pompeo made the announcement that this was a live exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? A live exercise? That's military speak. And military speak is what they do, or what they call dog Latin. You know, they make it sound a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
He used George Carlin is one of the great comics that stand-up comedians that really got into this stuff about words and how they use the words against us. And he has a stand-up piece called Advertising, and I highly recommend everybody go see that because he breaks it down to the point where you say, oh my goodness gracious, look what they, now I see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he lays it out so beautifully that you cannot but understand what happened, what it's all about. It's all about getting you to bend over where they can service the account.
Right.
That's what it's all about. You see, they want you buying whatever they tell you to buy, and no matter what it does to you, they don't care. Just buy it. Throw it away if you don't like it, you know. Money back guarantee. So,
yeah, but there's so much trickery going on.
Exactly, and that's what has been the actual modality, let's say, since 1950. They started using Project Monarch, which they brought here from the Nazis, MK Ultra. That's how I got elected, because they used MK Ultra on the people here. And got the advertising thing, I Like Ike. Everybody, I remember in grammar school, I wore an I Like Ike button, you know, at my elementary school, because everybody liked Ike,
right?
Even though he was a Republican, and most people, and so many of the Democrats were, you know, I mean, they all voted for him. Yeah, it was, you know, and then Tricky Dick, he got slick and got in there, yeah. And then later on, he became accident too, you know, and really got accidented on out of there, didn't he? Had to leave in the
we have a hand raised, Tyreek. Let's add family.
Let's get at it. Yeah, anything. Yeah, I'm ready.
111. You have a question or comment?
$2 gas grid.
Hello.
Hello. Greeting.
I guess they don't want to talk. Okay, go ahead, Tyreek.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, what were we talking about? Because, you know, we got distracted here.
We're talking about Eisenhower and
I wanted to go back again to end of the war, because again, from 1944, before the war was over, they had already transferred between 7,000 and 10,000 Nazis over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 1945 came, and the war was all over, and D-Day and celebrations and the people in this, you know, I mean, if you just, because when you go look at some of the old newsreels about that period, you'll see how they got everybody worn out by the war, right? Mm-hmm. And then the war was over, and so now we can go back to normal, you know, and we can get back and, oh, yeah, we're back, you know. Yeah, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Because they brought all those creatures over here, put them in place, and even Mengele was here. Dr. Mengele, the doctor of death, he was here. He was so crazy that they had to take him and send him to Bolivia because his experiments were too crazy. You know, they couldn't hide it. And you know, people say, wait a minute, we don't want to do this. You know, so, and if you know anything about Mengele, he was a monster, this guy. And even Adolf was here. I have a picture of Adolf with a friend of mine's mother, who was his liaison over here. And see, people think, you know, the story is that he committed suicide in the bunker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because the Nazis already left Germany in 1942 and set up in South America, and was helped over there by the Catholic Church. Church helped them get through northern Italy, put on a ship, and sent to Paraguay. And that's how we got Brazil's Nazi government, Argentina's Nazi government, Paraguay. All military governance, all that, yeah. That's how that came about. See, because when you study the Germans during the 30s, you're going to find out that the Central Committee of the National Socialist Workers Party, the Nazis, was not being followed by Adolf. Adolf, he and his staff, they ignored the orders and the rules and so forth of the Central Committee, and so they just said, "Hell, we're not gonna be here because y'all gonna get wiped out." So they left and went to South America and were helped through Catholic bishops to get through northern Italy, take a ship across, and get across to South America. That's how we got the all these military governments in South America that the United States could then later on control. See? Yeah. See, that's the history. That's the real story. But that's not what they're teaching in school. They're not. You don't get any of this in school, you know, unless you specialize.
So the Nazis, were they German Jews, Jewish?
Many of them. Many of them, and they, in fact, they were the ones who started the National Socialist Workers Party, were imitating the Communist Party of Soviet Union. Yeah, that's what they were actually trying to do the same thing in Germany, and it was taken over by other forces, mostly German Yiddish forces, such as Eichmann and a lot of those kind of people. You're going to find them all throughout the staff of Hitler, all throughout the top echelons of the German Nazis. We're German, Jewish Germans. Yeah. That's what people don't want to, that's why they don't want you talking about them. That's why we're not allowed to say nothing, because then when the truth comes out, oh, then they're Holocaust, hollow hoax that they've been putting in the newspaper since 1913, by the way. That's when the 6 million first appeared, 1913, in the New York Sun. Anybody can go find it, you know, Google it. But, you know, all of this knowledge, you know, we're not supposed to have. We're not supposed to know any of this. And we're not supposed to say anything about it, especially because, you know, that means that their story that they're hiding with this whole anti-defamation league, these Nazis that, you know, these, first of all, many of them are attorneys, bar members, Brits, by the way, Brits. Yeah, that's what they are, British foreigners. And then they're on top of that, they're claiming to be Jews, and that's again the synagogue of Satan. Their god is Lucifer. That's what they believe in. I mean, there was a Christian a preacher who went over to Israel, I call it, or Israel, and got into their temple libraries and started translating some of the books over there. And it's called, I think the video is called The Other Israel, if it's still available, or maybe they've taken it down. You know, I'm sure it's probably taken down by now, but it was a tremendous video explaining the whole, breaking down what it really says in the books, in the Torah and the Talmud. And so, you know, again, all we need to do is listen to them, they themselves, they tell you. I mean, there's so many people calling themselves Jewish that have exposed Judaism under these pale-skinned, you know, I call them troglodytes, that became the rabbis and the Jewish this and that over the centuries in Eastern Europe, and then got driven out of there, pushed west, and different pogroms happened to them there because of the way that they lived. Back then, you know, they were always about scheming and always about getting over on people. You know, three-card Molly, for example. That's what comes out of that period. You know, that's why you have a Rothschild. You see, that's why you have a Rockefeller. You know, and these people, you know, and these banksters, Kuhn and Loeb, for example, one of the 12 Federal Reserve banks, which is, they are not federal, and nor do they have a reserve. Kuhn and Loeb, one of the big New York banks, they are the ones who finance the Nazis' military development through Basel, Switzerland, using Bendix, GM, Ford, Chrysler, all the military makers, the airplane makers. I mean, that's how did Hitler get a Luftwaffe, and who helped him get a Luftwaffe when the Treaty of Versailles said that they should not have any military forces like they had before? And that's one of the things that people must know about Germany, is that, you know, the Germans are still trying to get back to their glory days of King Frederick the Great and those, and Catherine the Great, and all those different parts of the German history there of being, you know, and that's why they're the way they are. I mean, Germans have, you know, look what happened to them in the First World War. Look what the Kaiser did to them. You know, and the Kaiser had them slaughtered like nothing, like they were nothing in World War One. And then in World War Two, you get Adolf Hitler and the Nazi National Socialist Workers Party, who seemed to mesmerize 35 million Germans and turn them into little children and followers of nonsense and craziness. And of course, they lost. You know, even with all their advanced this and that, knowledge and this and that, they lost, although they didn't lose. See,
we're dealing with today? The Nazis?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're dealing with today. Exactly. See, that's what I keep telling people. If you don't go back and see that they transferred all of them here and they've been working and steady working all these years, all these decades, from 1944, 45, 46, all the way to now. See? And that's, you know, that's almost a century. Come on, folks. 80 years. They've been at it.
And someone is saying that isn't the British royals, aren't they Germans?
Yep, exactly. That's why Adolf did not bomb London back into the Stone Age like he did other places. Because he knew the House of Windsor, that's them. Those are Germans. See? And of course, you know, you're talking about occult. Oh, my goodness. Those are some of the worst occult in Elizabeth's court and them. You know, all of those, what do you want to call them? the royals, the so-called royals, like right now you got Charles III.
Right.
Who's playing king, and he's married to his him-in-law wife, you know, his commoner wife, you know, over Lady Diana, Diana. And there's even evidence that she left behind that exactly said what was going to happen to her. Charles was planning to have her killed in an auto accident so that he could marry again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? So all that is, you know, this is all part of knowing the story of, you know, the British Empire, the French Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Portuguese Empire. Now, all of that came out of the Moors because none of them were really able to read, write, and all that. You know, their level was very base until the Moors came and built that whole peninsula out into the great cities that you see today, you know.
Hmm.
In fact, I was in a part of southeastern Spain where you drive through this mountainous area and then you look up in the mountains and you can see that they have carved out, you got a little small city up there that you have to go, you know, a certain route to get to. There's such magnificence of knowledge, of information, of architecture and engineering. And so why do you think the Spanish to this day, and even the Portuguese, are doing the bullfighting?
Why are they doing the bullfighting?
They are doing the bullfighting because they're celebrating their victory over the Moors.
Hmm.
That's what the bullfight is all about. But when you notice about the bullfight is that, first of all, they bring the bull in,
and
he ain't seen nobody, and he's mad as hell, and so they let him out, and then here come the guys on the horses with the spears, and they go and they attack him, and they beat him up and stab him with all up in his neck and all around his back and have him, you know, these things sticking out of him and everything. Then you have the toreador who comes in, and he, you know, does all this fancy stuff, and the bull is you know, weaker and weaker.
Dang.
Because that's what they do. They come in and they weaken it, and to the point where the matador comes in, because the matador, I mean, he's the killer. That's what mata means, death. Yeah. So the matador comes in, and he has the sword, and he does his shenanigans or whatever, he, you know, his game that he plays, and then he has to, yeah, and then he has to put that sword in a specific spot so that the bull just drops. The bull's already on its knees most of the time. But
right.
when the sword goes through, it goes right through the brain into the heart, and so it drops right there on the spot. And so that's then the praise of the matador, you see. Then you get the hooray and the crowd, the ole and all that, right? Yeah. But see, it had already tired the bull out, beat him all up, made him...
Right. Got swords
got him all exhausted, and then they kill it. And that's
right.
Their celebration, that they got rid of the Moors. And that's what they used the bullfighting for, see? That's what I learned. Because actually, you know, they're celebrating in the summer in Pamplona in Spain. They're celebrating a converted Moor, a Moor who converted to Catholicism, and his name is San Fermin, and they made him a saint because he showed them how to ferment. His name was San Fermin. Yeah, it's a little brown guy they carry around all over the town celebrating. That's when they have the, you know, the running of the bulls in the streets and all that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I did that back in the 60s with my crazy ass.
Mm-hmm.
You was young, as they say, young and dumb.
Young and dumb. It's full of crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I survived it, as you can see. So I'm still here. But yeah, that was an eye opener, that whole trip for me from Stockholm to southern Spain and back, because it taught me that, oh, you mean we ran Spain and Portugal? Oh, you mean that's not the name of the place? Oh, you mean it's Al-Andalus? And it's, you know, the Iberian Peninsula, you know, the Empire of the Two Shores? Oh, that's what it's called? You see? And you start finding out, you know, what things really are and really were called, and you start reading the ones who chronicle things, and who don't, you know, who don't write in such a way that they're biased and they make it sound like, you know, some other nonsense, but they
right.
tell you, you know, what the situation really was. And once you see this for yourself, you say, oh, I understand now. See, the Moors were so busy fighting amongst themselves that the Germans and the Catholics all got together and drove them out. Yeah.
So that works when they say divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But see, they divided themselves up more than anything else. That's what the problem is. Yeah, because one is about the proselytizing and you know, strict religion, all the religious presses, and the other is about science and engineering and the seven liberal arts. You know,
so why they couldn't put them together?
Well, because, you know, you have the contradiction between the religion and the science.
Mm.
See, religion is what you be the lie, and science is to know. See, that's where the rubber hits the road, and until we that and know that, I mean, yeah, we fought amongst ourselves because we of the science aspect of things were constantly being attacked and called names by the religious ones who didn't see us proselytizing, and so therefore we were infidels, and so their job was to get rid of all infidels as far as they were concerned. Yeah. And so that was how you're divided up and you lose. I mean, you know, how are you going to beat somebody you fighting amongst yourselves? That doesn't work.
Yeah, well, religion, I mean, that's a distraction and, you know, that's a control mechanism. But I was thinking more of like spirituality and science. I could see them going together.
Well, yeah, the science and spirituality, if you see, for example, the great mosque that was built in Grenada, I mean, you know, I mean, come on, that place, that structure right there will just, you just cannot believe that somebody could do that. Or go to Sevilla, you know, Seville, or even, you know, even the town of Pamplona, or many, many, you know, beautiful places throughout Spain and Portugal, you know, are all there because of what the Moors left when they were driven out. See, those people didn't build anything. They didn't know any of that. And most of them were leftovers from the Roman Empire and were living in caves and barely making it because that's how Rodrigo was able to rule over there. And then this one count from this small place called Ceuta, which is a part of Spanish, so-called Spanish Morocco, he had sent his daughter over to the king's court to be, you know, because he was a count, and he was trying to, you know, relations and whatever, and his daughter was raped by Rodrigo, and so he was highly incensed, and so he helped finance Ibn Ziyad, the actual invasion. That's how it came about. You had all those vessels, and you had all those horses, and all those men, and they invaded Iberia and drove the forces of Rodrigo. They bowed down because those Moors were riding those horses with those scythers, those bowed swords, you know, that those heavy swords that when you swing it, it goes right through the whole body. Mm. The weight, they're sharp. First of all, it's so sharp it cuts through anything. And then the weight of it just, so they were just slicing people's heads and bodies and so forth. And so those people bowed down immediately. They didn't, yeah. I mean, they saw what was going on. They bowed down immediately. So Rodrigo didn't have too much of a chance to stay in power over there. And so then from there, the actual miracle building and all the great things that were done there in Iberia and in so-called Spain, which again, Spain was not a place, was not a name until 1552. Okay, it wasn't called Spain before that; it was called Iberia. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, and then Portugal, that's just another little small spot, part of it over there. That because they had a port, and they also developed the wine called port wine, and so that's how the Portuguese. But then the Portuguese were some of the first. They learned to be mariners and to be navigators, you know, and they learned of course that from the Moors, who had the school set up to teach that, you know, and so. Once you find out, okay, this is what really went on there, and then the story we got coming up was all, you know, Walt Disney and all this Hollywood nonsense, see? And that's what
that
people have
been.
That was
part of the brainwashing. That was part.
Right. That's the Hollywood thing, and that's the war eras. Post-World War I, where you had the Roaring Twenties, then you had the Great Crash, which Noble Drew Ali caused when he got the mandate to all the land from Alaska to Argentina. And it was handed to him by the indigenous people who met in Havana at the OAS conference in 1926, and they met Noble Drew Ali as he came off the plane with the two other representatives, the one OAS secretary and some senator running for president at the time. They were there and they saw the indigenous people all walk up to Noble Drew Ali and hand him the mandate. And it's in the minutes from the meeting. And we have the minutes from that. And we have access to that now. And so, you know, this is what we must know, that the Wall Street crash of 1928, that didn't just happen. They could not have what they were doing there because they did not own or control the land. Noble Drew Ali did. he had the mandate from all of those indigenous people from North and Central and South America that were there. See, so here again is part of our story that we must know. And how you get to that is you start out with your family. You find out about your family. You get your family's information and where your family background, and you start tracing it back. That's what Henry Louis Gates is playing with on PBS and making everybody think that they know all about us and they know all how to find us and all that old stuff. No. No. He's doing his thing because he's backed by, you know, Harvard and Yale, the two worst institutions in the country as far as we're concerned. He's working for them. So, I mean, if people can go back and listen to Dick Gregory tell you about Harvard because he studied it well. He tells you about how filthy these creatures were at Harvard and Yale. Oh, my goodness. You know, about what they did to, you know, to the various, to become the various colonial powers that they became, you know. So, yeah, this is history. This is our story. Come on, folks. I'm gonna pull it out here. I think in a minute. It's called. I got a book list. I want people to start, you know, finding these books and start reading them, because once you do that, you're gonna start putting A and B and C together. And it's going to start making, you know, making sense that, oh, you mean the story is different than you've been told? Yeah, the story is way different than you've been told. Yeah, that's what it really is. Mm-hmm. And that's a long ago. Well, I'll find it here.
Okay, and if you do have a question or comment,
yeah, anybody want to listen in?
Don't. 3-642-1586 and push the number 1 and you can have your question or your comment. So if we really start looking at history, you know, it's what's going on today will not be a mystery.
No, at all. That's exactly correct. You know, and again, it's, once we realize our story is a circular story, not a linear story, and we realize that our story is based upon our matrilineal connection and organization, okay, and that's what is missing, and this is one of the main reasons why we don't move forward like we should, is because we have the imbalance from the matriarchy, you know, and until we get that balance back and stop all this foolishness about women this and women that and men this, you know, the whole game that's being run on us, you know, until we get out of that and figure out that, well, wait a minute, it's not exactly like that, folks. You know, it's not. You know, our story is a vast, incredible, unbelievable story that all you got to do is get in it yourself and start finding out, and you're going to see for yourself that, oh, my goodness, we have the story. We have the story. We have done it all. Yeah, we have done it all and continue to do it. See? But since we don't control the media, or the media controls us, you know,
that's what it is. That's how they're using.
The Yeah. Because you know, again, our story, you know, the things that we have done here in this land, I mean, it is like I said, go check out the Great Snake Mound up the river from Cahokia up the Mississippi, and find out that those things that are sticking up around it, the four pyramids there, the four mounds, are larger than the Great Pyramid of Giza. Who did that? Who built that? How did they do that? Yeah. Well, the story is there. How they did it is there. It's all, you know, there's nothing mystical about it. You know, it's ABC, do, re, mi, 1, 2, 3. All of we.
Right.
We've been doing it the whole time. Yeah.
And so you had said that they had, brought in a whole bunch of people before we were talking about, and that seemed like what they're doing here, bringing in all the.
Oh yeah, they're flooding the country again with foreigners, undocumented, so-called undocumented, so mm-hmm. that they can point the finger, so that they can constantly. Point the finger and fuss and carry on about all these undocumented workers, people here that are causing us this and then costing this and that, and they get free this and that, and the whole nonsense that game that they play, trying to make sure that everybody hates the ones that they want you to hate, you know.
Right.
Yeah, hate them over there. Yeah. You know. Yeah, they're the reason. They're the ones over there. Get them. Yeah.
And someone wants to know, do you know, they asking me to ask you, who yeah. called you Moores first?
Who called us Moores first?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the history of the so-called Moores, that. You know, the names are actually Al-Muhads, Al-Muravids. You know, these are the various, what we went by back in the day in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th century. And that's how we brought Europa out of her darkness, even though we fought amongst ourselves a lot and actually lost control. But, whatever has happened to us, mostly we have done to ourselves. We are the mm-hmm. cause of it. When you go back in the story, you're going to find out that, oh, yeah, well, you brought it. You started it. You know, it didn't happen on its own. You know, it came through.
And words have many meanings. You know, it might mean something yeah. in one language and another and something. So you yeah. can't just go on. You pick out what you want it to mean. It has yeah. many meanings.
Exactly. That's right. You have to be open to know, not to believe. Again, this is the age of to know, not to believe. That was the Piscean age before. We're in the Aquarian age now. Now we're supposed to know about what we are doing. And once we grasp this, it won't be long to understand and overstand that the so-called population of so-called whites are decimating. They're self-decimating, actually. They're at zero and minus zero growth in the numbers. And that's mm-hmm. them talking. Yeah, that's them talking, not me. You know, I like to use their information. You know, I like to point out, for example, why people are so dumb today. Why people act so dumb today is because they've been dumbed down. And who said that? Oh, Charlotte Isherbight, who was the former Secretary of Education under Ronald Reagan. She wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
And America has been dumbed down.
That's correct. That's correct. And it's getting worse, not getting better.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's who we letting teach us. That's the problem.
Correct. Yep, you said it. We're not teaching ourselves.
Right. Other people putting their philosophies on us, their opinions, their mm-hmm. whatever.
Right.
We don't need that.
Well, as soon as I hear them talking, I turn away because I know they're lying because their lips are moving. You know, that's what I've learned over the years. Just turn away from them because their lips are moving, they're lying.
Right.
You know, and that's what they do.
And even if you find a couple of kernels of truth here and there, the majority of what they're doing is you know, pushing the lie. That's all they can do. They you know, their whole existence on the planet is a lie, you know, because they were actually transported across the Atlantic and put in those caves up in the Caucasus by the Olmecs, who were the ones that were experimenting in the laboratories and creating them and making them stand up on their 2 feet and took them up off the ground and all that. You know, that's all knowledge and history that's available to all of us. You know, if I know it, believe me, it's there to find out. You can find it out. See? So
we're getting short on time, Tyreek. Do you have your list, your book list?
No, I'm going to try to find it here. I think I don't know why it's not right here. My fingertips, I should have had it. Anyway, I'm going to put out my email, and anybody who wants the book list can email me at Tyreek Montuno, TarikMontuno @gmail.com.
Wait, slow it down, Tyreek. Say it again.
Yeah. Tyreek Montuno, 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 that's a dance. and I love to dance. So Tyreek Montuno @gmail.com.
All right. Okay.
So,
So we got about 15 more minutes left here.
Is everybody calling in? Everybody want a question?
They're listening.
Oh, you're listening.
Wait a minute. Hold on. 215-360.
Yeah. Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. I had a question. I put it on the chat. I know. You were just breaking down as far as, you know, the Moors and I guess the influence that people of color have had, you know, throughout this whole, civilization, how we pretty much, I call it, add the salt and the flavor to every civilization on Earth, even in Asia and the Middle East. The Medici in Italy, I believe, weren't they originally black Africans, the Medicis? And then
the Medicis were Moors. Yeah. You see, you have to understand, so many of the peoples in Europa were melanated people, and they were infiltrated and brought down through mixing and fighting and the whole culture of feudalism in Europa, you know, is what got most of the stuff from our stuff taken away, or battles and wars, you know.
Yeah. What about the Romans? Because the Romans, I know that it was the as far as the power, it was the Persians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Greeks and the Romans. But the Romans didn't even want anything to do with the Europeans up north. In fact, they called them Vandals, and they other than conquering them, they didn't want to have any association with them until, you know, the Roman Empire, you know, they broke down because of their inner turmoil, you know, as far as what's happened, like what's happened in America now. But do you think that the Romans were totally a different race than the other Europeans? Because they were a little bit more civilized, and they didn't even like the northern Europeans.
Well, but see, remember now, folks, there's only one race. See, one of the things we have to throw away is this whole idea of racialism. Not racism, racialism. That is the ism that says that humanity is divided into races. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. That's a damnable lie. You go anywhere around the world, you're going to find us. You're going to find variations of us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it really is, and that's why you know, we are the ones everywhere on this planet that have built everything and taught everybody else everything. That's what the story really is. Yeah.
Right. See? Right.
And until we get that in our thick skulls and quit believing in all this superstition, as Stevie told us about many years ago, he told us, you know, you believe in things you don't understand. Guess what's going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is why I do what I do.
There's cultures, they already know the truth. When I was in the Middle East, I had Middle Eastern men telling me, they said, look, we know what the real deal is. They said, we know that, you know, it was the, well, they, I mean, most Middle Easterns are dark anyway, or brown,
right.
You know, they're melanated
right.
people, but they
right.
know
mm-hmm.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
And right. a lot of times, because I, you know, I was trying to deal business with them, which I may still do, they don't even
mm-hmm.
like dealing with Europeans. They only deal with them for business only. They know
right.
the real deal, and they're
right.
just kind of
right.
holding on until whatever, you know, transpires.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But other folks know what's the real deal. It's just, like you said, it's us here. We have been so brainwashed and so whatever that
we have accepted somebody else's version
yeah, right.
of you. How can you do that? How can you accept somebody else's version of you? Well,
exactly.
go look at what Rockefeller did in 1906. He took up all the books that were being used in schools at the book depository in Texas, had them sent to England and redone. And that's why you see all these men and so forth in the early parts of this country talking about looking like they pale skinned. No, they're not. They were not.
Neither were
the people in Europa. Listen, I lived in Scandinavia for 12 years. All right.
Uh-huh.
And so I know that the native people of Scandinavia, they turn brown in the summer. And the reason why they do is because they're melanated people. They just don't have sun for 6 months out of the year.
Right.
That's all. And so they don't need melanin
yeah.
like over here. But
mm-hmm.
but the original Swedes and all them people up there in the north are us as well. That's, again, what you got to find out if you travel. But if you don't travel, then you don't see any of these things because,
no.
you know, we're,
yeah.
just,
no,
and that's
you're,
why
you're
it's
right.
important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you're right, because I knew this guy. He was a white dude, but I think he was Welsh by origin because he was so proud of his Welsh heritage. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, black. And he told me, he said, oh, yeah, you know, back in our culture, like centuries ago, you know, there were a lot of African people, you know, up in Welsh and, you know, blah, blah. He's telling me the whole history of, you know,
right.
Welsh and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he even broke
mm-hmm.
it down. Yeah, they were Africans and black. We were dark. We were dark, you know, centuries ago and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know. Well, that kind of knew anyway.
Nothing,
and they were black Britons.
Right, but it had nothing to do with so-called Africa because that's a false name. The continent has 3,000 languages
mm-hmm.
and that many cultures, at least. And then you have so many, you know, people from variations of those 3,000 languages as well. And so, how can you call a place that was invented? Or that was called that by Roman soldiers who actually took over a small little sliver of land in Carthage in the north of Al-Kabulan, because Al-Kabulan means the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. So why are we not calling it the Garden of Eden instead of calling it after some Roman general who didn't do nothing? Some of his men were successful in taking over a little sliver of land and calling themselves the first Africans. Go look up Ali Muhammad, Dr. Ali Muhammad. His presentation on this is very, very good, and it will change your mind because it is.
Is it Ali Muhammad or what's the first name? Ali, A-L-I?
Yeah, Ali, yeah, Ali Muhammad, yeah, Dr. Ali Muhammad.
Okay.
He has a presentation, 21 minutes, where he shows you the whole history of that name, and it is not called that. We should call it that.
Well, I believe it, yeah.
Yeah, we should call it the Garden of Eden. That's what it is. I've been there. I've been to 18 countries. It's the Garden of Eden, folks. You can find, I mean, go, if you get a chance, go see it for yourself and you'll see. It's the most incredible place, one of the most incredible places on the planet. It's a massive, incredible continent. It's, you know, you cannot see it in 1, 2, 3 trips. You got to go there multiple times. It's in, you know, and so, you know, I started out in the north. I was in Tunisia. I was in Algeria. I was in Morocco, and I eventually went to Kenya, Tanzania, Malawi. I was in Zimbabwe, Botswana, South Africa. I was in 5 West Alkabalan countries studying traditional healing. I did a I did a 2-month trip in the 80s where I studied under many of the shamans and people spiritualists in throughout the western part of the continent. So 5 countries. So I have this experience that tells me a whole different story about who we are and why we have to learn who we are, because we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. I'll give somebody
else
a call. Thanks a lot. Okay.
All right. Okay. And I have another caller. 323-207.
Can you hear me, family?
Yes, we can.
Peace.
Better love.
Yeah, I can. Better love.
Better love.
Turtle Island Academy out here, out of Moreno Valley.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I didn't really want to. You know, build too much because you was just dropping, man. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the report and just make sure I was on point with my note taking. But, I just want to give you applause, brother, because, you know, I really do appreciate you, you know, coming on tonight and dealing with the family, man. It's definitely what we need.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, because we are our own. We are our own best friend and our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know.
We don't realize how much.
You broke up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can't hardly hear you. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was just saying we don't realize how much we really need each other.
There you go. That's it. Yep.
What's your take on the Bitcoin? What's going on with the currency? I know I don't ask Baba X, but I want to get your understanding on what you think about the crypto industry as far as like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I feel it's a personal trap.
I think so.
I deal with the gold and silver. So,
yeah.
You know, I like to have it physically on me. But I understand it is the future. You know, it is the wave. Just like a...
Not necessarily, bro. It's been hacked now. It's recently come to fruition. I mean, to the surface that it's been hacked. Yeah, they've been able to hack the blockchain now. So now, see, and again, how are you going to go with something that's electronic, and if something go wrong with the electronic, what happens to your to your stuff? You know what I mean?
We saw that with the voting.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, Dick Gregory told us back in 68 that, hey, when they count the votes, they tally all the votes up in New York. because he got 10 million votes in Pennsylvania, and they had to shut down the whole system, reboot it, and make the count so that the 10 million votes went to the correct Dick. Yeah. So he told us back in 68 that it's a C-lection, not an election. Yeah, that's what it is. And they'll trick you and make you think like what they're doing with Karen Bass and this Caruso as mayoral candidates here in Los Angeles. At the same time, they expose the no-Spanics over here with their hatred of us and how they were trying to redistrict everything according to their belief in who they are and all that kind of stuff, you know. And like I tell them all, you know, because I speak Spanish, so-called, but actually Spanish and Portuguese and French and Italian are Pidgin Arabic or Pidgin Lattimore. That's what those languages are, because for 800 years they didn't speak none of that. They might have spoken it at home, but they didn't speak it. Normally they spoke Arabic as they learned throughout Europa all the way up into Scandinavia, folks. So you got to understand that the Moors' influence in Europa is enormous, and we must learn that story. The Story of the Moors in Spain by Stanley Lane Poole is a great book. Stanley Lane Poole, The Story of the Moors in Spain, and then also his next book, which was The Story of the Moors After Spain. That's also very important to get. All right. Because then you will start seeing what was accomplished and what was, and how they messed up and how they got involved in this internecine battling, and got themselves thrown out. See, so,
brother, do you know anything about the Hindu connection with Judaism or anything of that? Because I understand old man Kush, you know, was the father of ancient Kemet or whatnot. So, I mean, as far as the Asiatic race, Hinduism, and as far as even with the Hebrews, I've seen, like, you know, different documentaries where, like, the language is kind of similar, or, you know, they reference each other as far as Hinduism, mm-hmm. Judaism. I was wondering if you was familiar with any of that.
Well, yeah, there's all that mingling and intertwining going on, because you had all the movements of those people from what is now Pakistan, India, all the way across to Turkey, and all up into the stands, you know, Kazakhstan and the rest of them there. All that, you see, and all of that is the movement of peoples and intermingling of peoples and cultures is why you have what you have today, see? And and you don't find, I mean, you have to go way up in the north, or you have to go in some of those islands there, England, Scotland, and those areas, to find people that are so pale you can call them white. Yeah, Scandinavia, for example. See, so... There is no such a thing, and there's no such a land in the world, and so we should cease to use the terminology white and black regarding people, because nobody of us, or I can't say nobody, because I know brothers that are purple dark, they're so blue, they're so dark, their melanin is so thick that they look almost blue black. But that's a very few people. See, you're not talking about any large amount of people on the planet, but you have every complexion from the pale to the dark amongst us, okay, without any other mixing. See, you had all that. You got to know that our story precedes their story by hundreds of thousands and millions of years. See? Because they've only been on this planet, present on this planet, they've only been here 6,000 years at most, okay? That's their own knowledge that they put out. I let them speak it again. They'll tell you everything. And they're always telling us, you know. They're always telling us what they're doing. You just got to be slick enough to listen because you will hear what they're saying.
I greatly do appreciate your wisdom, brother. Man, I'm grateful that you keep coming on, and Auntie B, better love. I appreciate y'all.
Better love.
Y'all have a good evening.
Yeah,
you too.
Thank you, my
you
brother.
Love to go first.
Peace and love. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Thank you all.
Anybody else?
No, that's the only. That's all the hands that's raised.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was hoping my brother Robert Banks was going to call in and lay it out about the language, especially about the syntax, and how we must get back to the syntax and learn the proper speech. Because once we do that, and you're going to start seeing how they're babbling. We're all just babbling mostly.
Right.
When you start seeing, when you see how the language breaks down, you'll see how they're just talking smack, and we just think that it sounds so good, but it isn't, you know. And that's that dog Latin I was talking about earlier, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
that syntax is good. It's important. Mm-hmm. I noticed some of the corporations, some of the bankers, are starting to use the syntax.
That's correct, because that's correct speech.
Mm-hmm.
And our ancestors taught us you must speak correctly, otherwise you create confusion.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what has happened. And people are so confused and bewildered on the use of the language, they don't even know, they don't even care. You know, they just... Because, you know, who cares now? You can just say this and say that and do this and do that. You know, anybody, what? You know what I mean? And this last couple of years with this psychosis that everybody seems to be under in the streets, with people, I mean, here in L.A., it's amazing. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people here in the street, living in the street.
And then you have
the freeway.
New people coming goodness. Over here, and they putting them up in room and board.
Oh yeah, they get the room, they get the board, they get everything. Oh yeah, they turn the motels in there in places for them to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but for us who are here and those who are less fortunate, oh they don't care. Sorry about that.
So how do we come out of the spell or the MK Ultra?
Yeah, we have to break the spell, and you can't break the spell until you find out that you're under a spell.
That you're under one, that's right.
Yeah, unless you know that there's a spell going on, how are you going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with it. That's the problem with this language, because it sounds so good, so you think, oh, yeah, okay, mm-hmm, yep, uh-huh, I got it, you know. And then pretty soon, you know, you don't even know what's happening, because they're talking to you this way one time and this way another time and upside down and backwards and you know.
that's
the game. Otherwise they can't make it. They cannot be here doing what they're doing. See,
mm-hmm.
That's what we got to understand, that their whole existence is because we don't have it together for ourselves. See, that's the problem. And once we start figuring that out and doing it, oh, it's over with. It's going to be over in 10 minutes.
Well, I think that it has a lot to do with we are in the Aquarius age, and isn't that to know?
Yep, that's it. That's why it's coming around. That's why people are awakening and saying, wait a minute, didn't you just say this or didn't you just say that? You know. Yeah, that's how it just starts. It starts piling up. You know, the questions start coming, and people start asking those questions, and they don't get answers, and they say, "Uh-oh, something's not right here."
They coming out of the hypnotic state. That hypnotism is wearing off.
Right, I believe so. I know so because I see it all the time. You know, I see people awakening and saying, you know. You know, you can't, you just cannot come here and tell me what I can say and what I can't say.
Exactly.
I'm not, you're not going to do that to me because, you know, I didn't get to be here no 8 decades and don't know nothing. Okay. So, yeah. So I see you, I hear you, and I know you. That's how I am. Yeah.
Right.
So when they talk, like I say, when you start hearing them talk and watch them speak, and then you just turn away because you know that, you know, them lips are moving. So,
well, we used to say talking out the side of their neck.
Side of your mouth. Exactly. Yeah. That's
well,
how it is.
Well, Tariq,
well, thank you so
give
much.
Out your email one more time.
Yes, it's Tariq Montuno. @gmail.com, TARIKMONTUNO @gmail.com.
All right. And thank you again, and we will do this some more. So thank you for your time and your energy.
You're so welcome.
And better
thank
love, and we're going to leave out with some Nina.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Put it on him.
Okay.
Well done. Thank you. Hey.
My skin is black, my arms are long, my hair is woolly, my back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My name is Aunt Sarah. Aunt Sarah. Is yellow, my hair is long, between two worlds I do belong. My father was rich and white, he forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sophronia. My skin is tan, my hair is fine, my hips invite you, my mouth like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone has money to buy? What do they call me?